I want to welcome everybody to the April 5th edition of Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers. I get to play host again today. And this morning we have a wonderful gentleman with us that I have to admit I don't know that well, but have always been the one to observe from a distance. And watching what I've seen about this man, his character, his vision, his passion for the network marketing industry, specifically NECN, has been a wonderful treat to me. And you always have those people that you put on a pedestal, and Mike DiMuccio is definitely one that I have. Not to put up there to throw stones at him or anything like that, but just to say, hey, you know, this is a guy who I think we can emulate and we can follow. So, Mike, welcome to the call, and thank you for being on in advance. And
thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, I've had to introduce myself a couple times, and so I usually, you know, lay it on a little thicker than, you know, most people would, but I figured I could, you know, boost you up a little bit, and then maybe, you know, we'll maybe knock you down to a little bit more relatable side. No, we won't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is this guy? He sounds pretty interesting.
Mike, take us back to the beginning of your career, your journey with NECN, because I know, you know, like myself, you weren't, you know, all of a sudden, you know, cruising along one day and say, you know, I think I want to be a Japanese magnet salesman and delve into wonderful products like far infrared and Pimag water and negative ions and all that kind of stuff. How did it all get started for you?
Well, interestingly enough, actually, we only had one technology when I got started. That was the Dynetics. But to take a long story short, or make a long story short, my career was sort of going here, there, and everywhere. I wasn't actually doing what I was trained to do. I wasn't doing what my heart wanted me to do. I was trained as an aerospace engineer. My heart was into music, writing, producing, recording original music, which I did following my graduation for a couple of years under contract. But that sort of came unglued, and I found myself, like a lot of people do, making ends meet, basically working for a friend of mine, by accident, actually. He invited me to help him out for the summer, and, well, that summer turned into three summers. So I was there for 3 years running a production crew, three crews, and, you know, what happens is you get behind that thing, and it's pretty hard to get, or you get in front of it, it's pretty hard to get away from it. So all of a sudden, your life takes on a whole new meaning. I mean, it's just day in, day out, same old, same old. Well, fortunately, God spared me from that disaster when one day, when we were returning back to the office, I was rear-ended in the van. Quite a big collision, and that resulted in a low back injury. And although I maintained my occupation for a period of time, it was getting exceedingly difficult because the physical duress that I was under every day, the back pain, the tension, and so forth, made it almost impossible to do my work. I was going to physiotherapy, chiropractic care, massage therapy, and nothing helped for about a year and a half until I got a phone call from an acquaintance who I guess had sort of seen the potential in me at some level, phoned me up and said, come on over, I've got something I think that can help you from Japan. And he lived about 10 minutes away, so I did. And we watched the NECN Humans Being More video, at which point I realized this was going to be a network marketing pitch. And I wasn't sure who I was more embarrassed for, him or myself, to be honest. It was really weird. But there was just something in that video that compelled me to take it further. And it was, I think, well, first of all, the Japanese history of this company is so rich, and the success of NECN. And, you know, when you liken that to other success stories from Japan, they are the leaders in virtually every industry. And then at the same time I was watching the video, there were some testimonials that were really sincere and heartfelt. And it was obvious to me that these people were not paid advertisers, that they were, you know, they were really the real people with a real experience. And so I decided to give it a whirl. I got the Backflex within, and I didn't buy the Backflex. I was actually given it to me. It was given to me by the fellow who was prospecting me only because it was the only thing he had at the time. NECN was not yet open in Canada. And then, anyway, within 15 minutes, I had relief for the first time in a year and a half. And it happened to be that my father was going upstairs to bed at the time. I was living at home. And he had been suffering for as many years as I can remember, but it was particularly aggravating his sciatica over that period of time, where he was limping and had poor range of motion and constantly nagging him and complaining. I said, "Hey, Dad, try this on, see if it helps." And it, all he did was place it over the small of the back, and for two nights he slept with it. And I had the success story, his success story to leverage from, because it wasn't. I couldn't even believe my own story sometimes. It's weird how that happens, but being a scientist, I guess we can become a little bit skeptical.
Well, even anyway. Having an engineering background, I would guess that you kind of wanted to talk yourself out of the experience.
I don't know if it was so much that, but I wanted to be more. Once I saw that it worked for me, I wanted to be somewhat more objective about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a really good thing for me, because it really compelled me. It really gave me. In fact, the second day, he called me from work and said, "It's gone," meaning the pain, the discomfort, he had pure good range of motion back, everything. And then 2 hours later, he called me up and said, "Can you get some more of these? I got some friends at work that want to buy them." And it was like that. It was right on that moment. It was like a bing, that light bulb that goes over people's head. And I recalled on the videotape two nights earlier, a gentleman said, "You can sell just about anything to anybody. Soaps, lotions, potions. But when you, and they might tell other people about it, maybe. But when you can take away someone's pain or discomfort, they will tell everyone."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my father was doing. So I just knew this was going to be big. And I also knew, one way or the other, if I did it or I didn't do it as a business, people needed to know about these products. So it appealed to something inside of me that had a sense of compassion for people who suffered every day. And I was one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
So long of it is I got started. I started right away. It only took me 2 days to make the decision of a lifetime. I mean, it didn't take long. And I did. I'm sure you're going to ask this question: what did you do? How'd you get started? Or maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just let you ask me the question.
Well, I'm curious. For the sake of you mentioned you're still living at home, so I'm going to guess you were in your 20s.
I was 27.
Okay, 27.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the same time that I moved out and stepped into the world of marriage. I'd started with Nikki a couple years prior to that. But so you're still in your 20s, and as you said, it didn't take even an engineering degree to spend, do a Ben Franklin close and figure out, okay, is this a good thing? You just 2 days based on your dad's experience. And did you mention, maybe I missed it, how long had your dad been dealing with that condition?
Oh, years, 15, 20 years.
Okay,
but it had heightened, and to the point where over that period, about 2 weeks, he was almost immobile.
Yeah.
I closed myself in essence, because I really didn't have. There was no infrastructure. In Canada, it was brand new. There was no Canada yet. In fact, this was two weeks, 3 weeks preceding Nikan's entry into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nothing to refer to. All the material that I was reading through was black and white, photocopy, 10th generation kind of thing. And the only other person that I was able to speak to on the phone was Reed Nelson, who was fortunately qualified to speak to me. He was doing quite well at the time. And that was another, by the way, that was another very important factor. I was so impressed with the fact that I was on the other end of a phone with a person who was making $500,000 a year plus and would take the time to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sense that was a common thing in the network marketing business where you had that kind of access to success. So that impressed me as well.
Mm-hmm. So you made the decision. And after that 2 days, what did you do to get started? I mean, you're leveraging, as you said, we're leveraging on your dad's experience, because a lot of times we think, well, if I start telling my story to people, they're going to look at me like, I drank the wrong flavor of Kool-Aid or something, and, or something went to my head and freaked me out. But, however, there is, great truth to be told when you share somebody else's story, because, number one, more than likely they're not there. And then number two, that person can't argue it and say, well, how do you know? Maybe they were faking it. Well, yeah, right.
Right.
Not so. So what did you do after 2 days and jumping on in?
Well, the first thing that that I thought to do was get help. I know in this business, our tendency is to immediately be absorbed by the products and then to turn our attention to all the people we know that we can help with the products.
Mm-hmm.
But the task ahead of me was not to help people one at a time with the products. The task ahead of me was to launch a country, to attract some people to this organization, this team, that knew something about building an international business, or at least a national business. And so I started putting on my thinking cap, who did I know had business experience? Because I didn't have any. And so the first person that came to mind was, in fact, the most successful entrepreneur I knew at the time, and that was a fellow by the name of Bruce Black. He and his brothers had a camera chain across Canada, biggest camera chain in Canada, called Black's Photography. They had sold it for about $100 million 3 years earlier. And he was, I guess, semi-retired, but dabbling in this and that. And just simply the kind of person you'd want to talk to. He is kind and generous. He was always very courteous when it came to me. You know, and here's a guy who certainly didn't have any needs that I had, or at least that I thought I could offer a benefit for. But when I got Nikan, all of a sudden I saw, here's something that maybe he can help me get my business going. And I knew that if he saw what I saw in this, his credibility and his reputation and his name would add such a credibility to this effort that, and that's in fact what happened. I went from being, you know, Mike DiMuccio, who, to Mike DiMuccio, the guy who sponsored Bruce Black, really. So, and so that gave myself, it was a very wise strategic move, I guess you could say. But, and Bruce, I didn't know he had a problem with his knee. And lo and behold, when I went to visit him, I called him up. I said, I've got something. It's big. I think there's potential to help millions of people. It already is a big thing, a big concern in Japan. And people such as yourself are the kind of people who really need to know about this, who can maybe push this along, forward this along. I said, it may not be for you, but you may know somebody that I should be speaking with.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was that genuine. It was that sincere. It was that meek. And he was... He said, quote unquote, sure, kid, come on over, show me what you got. That's exactly what he said, by the way. So
now you were in Toronto, and was he? Now he resides in Vancouver.
Right? Yeah, he had an office in Toronto.
Okay,
he is in Vancouver, but he had an office in Toronto. So I went to see him, and started doing what we typically do, you know, blab Nikan all over the place, and I was excited, but I didn't really know enough to appeal to, or I didn't have the skills to, you know, today we can tell you what to do and what not to do. Oh, I didn't have any of that training, so I just did what I did, which mm-hmm. was tell him as much as I knew. And then when I started telling him about the product experience I had and that my father had, he went from a very comfortable leaned back position in his chair to a forward leaning position. And that was it. That was the moment I connected with him. And I found out he had a problem with his knee. We strapped, literally taped, scotch taped the back flex to his knee. Very sophisticated procedure. And within three to 5 minutes, he was dancing around his office. He could not believe that his knee didn't hurt after about 3 months of pain. That medical professionals, all they knew how to deal with was medication, which upset his stomach. So here I was, this guy who came in out of nowhere with a product he'd never seen or heard of that sounded absolutely wacky, was able to take away this man's discomfort that no medical professional or specialist could do over a period of 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of it. It was at that point in time, his investigation began of who is this company, what is this about, how do I get involved in it, can we buy stock, and all the stuff that most people would ask. And that led to a further discussion with Reed Nelson, who was acting as my upline A at the time, my ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two people who could relate to each other. And the next thing I knew, Bruce was getting involved. But he, too, saw the potential to help people. So the first thing he did was pull together some people he thought could benefit from the products and were business-oriented. That was his field of influence. Anyway, so that was at the beginning, and we got organized. We started having events. And it grew and grew and grew. And my first month at Nikan, 300 people in my organization, 26 of which I personally sponsored.
Wow.
So I wasn't wasting time. I wasn't going slow. And I knew I had one real good shot at making this work for me. I didn't know if I had any other options. I didn't know if any other options would come along. So I didn't try Niken. I just went to work.
Mm-hmm. Now, what year was this, Mike?
92.
Okay.
January 92, we launched.
When you made the statement that you were wanting to launch a country, this was brand new to Canada at that time, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And there's something else that I want to go back to, because I think it is pivotal for all of us, regardless of where we're at in this journey with Niken, is that your opening line to Bruce, who I would guess that there was maybe a little bit of a little perspiration on your part in talking to this guy who I don't know, maybe at 27 you had accomplished everything that you'd want to accomplish in life, but I would just imagine, because I can remember when I was 27 and talking to people at Niken that were very successful in their own field, that there's a little bit of an intimidation there. But you made the comment, I don't know if this is for you, but you may know people. And
yeah. Pointing in the right direction. You may know somebody I should be talking with.
Yeah, because you're really asking for direction. And somebody who's new, and you know, as a younger person, we kind of have the advantage when you look to somebody who's, you know, a few years your senior, and you can say, I don't know if this is for you, and I don't even know if this is really legit, is kind of what they're interpreting it as, but maybe you can help find me somebody that can steer me in the right direction. And the person of wisdom is saying, well, maybe this kid, as he referred to you, as Bruce said, maybe I can help him out. Maybe he's gotten off course. And so people think, well, maybe I can help. And everybody wants to help. So you're, rather than wanting something from this person, you're giving them an opportunity to literally invest in you. So there's a lot of, we could go down that forever.
I now, personally think that is the most effective approach there is.
Mm-hmm. And you
in all my years of doing this.
You had said that Reed Nelson was acting as your upline, as your basically your A. How many people at that time, and it may have changed over the years, how many people at that time were in between you and Reed, the active upline?
I believe it was two.
Two? Oh, okay. So you were right near the top then. And today, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I just didn't know what my relationship was to these people.
Okay, and one of the things that I find interesting, fast forwarding to 2008, is that for the last several years now, you have been, and it's not something we're shy about in the world of Niken, you have been one of the top five income earners, and I'm not going to ask you to divulge your income. However, I know that if you're in the top five, and you know that I would guess that the top two are, you know, our two royal ambassadors, Dave and Valerie Johnson and Dennis and Ruth Williams. And so it's you've gone from meager income to quite a life of freedom, I guess, if I could put it that way, because freedom doesn't buy us, or the money doesn't buy us happiness, but it does buy us freedom, because it gives us the ability to leverage and do what we want to do when we want to do it, not having to worry about if we've got enough money to make things happen. What was that like for you? And if, again, looking back, what would an average person in your field that you studied, you went to school, what would that income be? In you know, you can translate into American dollars or not, or it doesn't matter to me. But what compare that?
Well, if I looked at specifically the aerospace engineering field, and the program that I was involved in would be in the management level of that. So I would be somewhere in the management level of an aerospace company and earning an executive salary, somewhere in the six figures. But it would probably be working 60 to 70 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be as high as $250,000. And I've had months in excess of that just in a month. So the trade-off is, I mean, there's no comparison in terms of lifestyle. So the only reason why anyone would actually do it is if A, they didn't know there was an option, or B, they still loved what they were doing, they wouldn't consider an option.
Sure.
Which is not financially responsible, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people justify their continuing to do what they do because on some level, they're somewhat lazy, and they just don't want to be responsible. At some level, we all sort of shirk our responsibility, because when it comes down to it, who is responsible? Who's responsible for your financial security? Who's responsible for your well-being? Is it the government? What are you paying into right now, today? What are you buying into and paying into right now with your tax money or your insurance money that's not responsible?
Mm-hmm.
What actions are you taking today that you are buying into and bought into that has taken the responsibility off of your shoulders, when in fact it still is on your shoulders, but we just pretend that it's not?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting to note that as a Canadian, and I believe it's a little bit longer, but Americans, we work, as a W-2 employee, we work from January to May, and that money, as you said, goes to taxes and to health insurance and to other benefits that we think we're working for free. We, you know, we get this package deal and it includes these benefits, when in fact, you know, what was it that an average corporate America company, I believe it's $14,000 a year is what they spend per employee for that family, for that employee's family, for the health benefits. And I'm thinking to myself, this is absurd, because When you run the figures, when you look at it from that perspective of, you know, leverage, as a W-2 employee, we don't have them, but when you run the numbers, it comes out to over 40% of that person's income working for somebody else that's going into so-called taxes and benefits for them, whereas, you know, Stacy and I just ran the numbers, and for us, for 2007 last year, was 15.4%. And so we just got to keep more of what we worked for, and it just makes so much more sense. And that's something, as you
know, I love what Paul Zane Pilzer says about the insurance business. He says, you know, they're betting on the fact that you're not going to get sick. You're betting on the fact that you are.
We're literally speaking a curse over our lives, so to speak, hoping that we'll get to take advantage of that.
Incredible. How did they sell us on the notion that they're betting on getting sick? So let me spend some money on the notion that I'm going to get sick. It's weird. It's life. However, we're wiser today. We now know that we have options. And that's what we do. We present options for people. If nothing more, if you want to say, what does a Deakin Wellness Consultant do? I'm an options specialist. I give people options.
Now, what would you say, looking ahead, and I want to spend some time on this, because one of the things that a lot of us don't know out there in the world of Deakin is that since the inception, since you signed that application and actually faxed it in, that's what we did back then in those days, long before the internet, you started with a cycle, and today we call it the rhythm of Deakin, the rhythm of Deakin, in that we look at a 90-day window, and we're right halfway in that window right now in between our rhythm events that take place all over North America, and which, by the way, registration is open for that. For those of you who want to be a host, you can go online and register to be an event host. So there's my plug on that. But, Mike, you've been utilizing this 90-day cycle to build, not to create leaders, because creating leaders, you're taking a shortcut that's building a house of cards that's sure to crumble, but building people and building, and you said your first month you sponsored 26 people personally and had over 300 in your organization. So obviously you weren't creating it, and by creating I mean going in and saying, here, you just give me the Social Security number and we'll throw some volume under that person and help them get to a level. We build by saying, hey, who can you get me in front of, or who can we go talk to? And let's go create some activity. Let's create some fire. Deakin has brought that in-house, and Ann Bodak has been championing the whole rhythm cycle. What was it for you that really caused you to realize we've got to come up with that? Now, obviously, having an engineering background, it lended to, hey, let's come up with a plan. You know, you can't build a house starting with the roof trusses. We've got to build a foundation and go from there. But tell us about what you've done and what came about, or what you put into that to develop the whole 90-day rhythm of Deakin.
Well, it's very experiential in nature. I And of course, my engineering background with an understanding of vibration and frequencies and structures and the relationship to harmonic resonances of structures and so forth, you can look at anything as a structure and find its harmonic frequency, which means its natural rhythm. I can knock over the CN tower with a pea shooter if I know its harmonic rhythm, and I'm able to hit that rhythm with the pea shooter. So every structure, whether it's a physical structure or a virtual structure, is defined by its rhythms, and the structure itself defines the rhythms. So take an Econ compensation plant, Royal Diamond, Royal Ambassador. That is a structure. Ultimately, when you've got an operating business that's at that rank, there are people in certain ranks within your business that are performing certain tasks and functions that keep the business going and growing. Of course, everybody's acting in their own interests, but unlike the corporate world, we are motivated by our own interests rather than by the promise of, you know, if I do this, I get paid. We're acting in self-interest. But collectively, we all perform a function. Collectively, we all come together and create an outcome where Nikan's concerned, and that keeps the organization growing and thriving. So you could say there's a structure defined by the compensation plan, and therefore there are certain natural rhythms that are going to be more effective than others. If we go with the rhythms, we're going to be able to increase the amplitude. If we go against them, we're going to diminish the amplitude, or we're going to be competing within. And so you can analyze it from that standpoint, which I have, but in hindsight more than anything, because when I first started in Econ, you said, you know, sponsoring 26 people, by the way, I sponsored 9 my second month. So almost half of the entire number of people I've ever sponsored since I've been in Econ 17 plus years, I did in the first 2 months. Now, that doesn't make me a very good sponsor. It makes me an excellent recruiter, but it doesn't make me a very good sponsor. In fact, quite the opposite. How do you deal with all that? And what's interesting is the problem that I created for myself was actually a victory for two reasons. No one in my organization or my front line saw me as dependent on them. That's a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did I see myself as dependent on them. Because I knew I could just simply recruit more people. And so now we are not dependent on each other. We're interdependent. We need each other. We work together. We collaborate together. We're in the same boat. Even though I might be 2 days older than you, we're in the same boat. So I never built that mentality of upline, downline. It was just, here we are trying to get something established where Nikan is concerned in this country, and everyone's contributing to that effort. And if you don't want to, that's fine. I'm just going to keep looking for people who want to. And so there was no sort of upline, downline experience at that inception. Number one, that's what that created. Number two, because there were so many people, it forced me to create an infrastructure to deal with the number of people that were joining, because there wasn't enough time to educate. So we had to use events to create the education. So the succession of events, or the rhythm of events, was what in fact created the education, or the flow of information, which subsequently allowed more people to join, more people to learn, more people to join, more people to learn. So the structure, the infrastructure of events and trainings, you know, recruiting events, trainings, my leadership breakfast on Monday mornings, that formed the basis of an infrastructure that allowed people to tap into. And so obviously the people who tapped into it were the people who were serious. And as you said, the leaders emerged from that. So what the rhythm is are the events that are necessary when you take a bigger, you know, that was starting Nikan in the Toronto region. But if we looked at Nikan from the field of view of a Royal Ambassador, okay, you're a Royal Ambassador now, so your business is not local. It's international, maybe even global. And so you can't possibly be everywhere, but you have to have things happening pretty much everywhere. So now there has to be an assignment or a delegation of those roles and responsibilities. And so what happens is, as we move up through the ranks, we change our hats, so to speak, and we may not necessarily be involved on the infrastructure in a local way, except where we live, but we help other people set up those infrastructures as they set up their Nikan business. Right. And then they work together to create that city environment or that town environment or that region. And so what the rhythm does is it gives us a way to choreograph all of that. It first defines what events should be happening and when, and two, being tied to Niken, it enables us to choreograph it so all these things are happening in synchronicity, which creates a much, much bigger wave, a much bigger wave form, if you will, greater amplitude. So that's really what the rhythm is. But going back to the actual launch itself, what it does is it enables you to recruit a lot of people quickly and not be too concerned with how any one person is doing. It allows you to ramp up the situation while you're getting, while you're cutting your teeth on how this business really works. Because if you had to learn everything and then apply everything, then learn everything, then apply everything, we'd be here till, you know, next summer on just this phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You want to get in work mode. You want to get in action mode. So the rhythm helps us to create action and supports the growth of people while we are learning. So I launched my business that way. I've launched other countries that way. I've launched other people that way. One of my biggest success stories was a launch that took place 2 years after my own launch in Canada.
Hmm.
And so how do you organize that? In a focus.
Right. What I think I'm hearing is that utilizing the events, and, you know, when we do a wellness preview and I see new people or seasoned wellness consultants who have been in for a while taking notes, or that you can tell it's not a glazed over look, it's what we call from Humans Being More, that aha, they have that experience, and you can read them, much like you said when you first talked to Bruce Black, when he leaned forward in the chair, you can read that body language that people are experiencing it. And it may not be anything from that's being said from the front of the room, or it could be a testimony that's shared. As you mentioned, we don't have time to sit down with every single person and educate them on how magnets work and what the, you know, the molecular structure of the water is when it goes through the PIMAG, you know, filtration device, or when it goes through the bottle, or what a negative ion is and how that works and how that's going to benefit their life. And no person can remember all that. And I love the fact that what you're saying is that by putting people in gatherings, going from a series of gathering type perspective, you're going from event to event and allowing them to get educated in the process, then in turn, which allows them to bring other people with them because they know it's a safe, comfortable environment where they're going to get this. And every 90 days we have one in North America. And then in the middle time, 6 weeks, either side of that, we have the Humans Being More Business Fundamental Training, which we're going to talk about next week on the call, and they're absolutely incredible. Well, Mike, I know we could spend the whole rest of the time, but with the few minutes that we have left, because I as I mentioned to you the other day, I really wanted to focus in on that rhythm so people understand how, number one, how simple it is, but number two, how beneficial and how imperative it is to their group, their group and their growth, and you just laid it out. Mike, you did something, and I'm going to put you on the spot not to throw extra accolades at you, but just simply bring to the people that are listening to something that they may or may not know about it. Ray Schwab and I, at the MBA event a few weeks ago, we did this same call from our hotel room, and we shared, but we couldn't really put into words what took place Friday night, and I know some things will remain there in Irvine at the headquarters that were shared that night, but you did something that was quite remarkable when you stepped up, and it was Ann Bodek had basically dismissed us for the evening, and but said, you know, if there's anybody else that wants to share anything, and you could call it open mic night, you could call it whatever, but you literally shared some things that were dear to your heart as a leader and said, look, I need this to happen for me to continue to go forward, and it opened up a whole... we're talking not a can of worms, but we're talking, you know, a 1,000-gallon drum of worms, of people being able to just say, hey, you know, I messed up, and this is what I need to say, and I beg your forgiveness, and I'm going forward from here. Where do you see that? Because of the whole weekend, of that whole event for me, that's what I walked away that empowered my life and changed me. For the person that wasn't there, what did that do for the empowerment of your future with Niken?
You know, it's a lot like being in a dysfunctional family. When things go too long unsaid, then it creates resentment, and that creates friction, and it's hard to get along, and it's hard to think proactively or favorably when you're looking at a company that's trying to implement agendas that are about empowering the team, and there's fractures within the scope of the team. So it creates suspicion, mistrust, and that's death in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a lot of ways you could have a very slow death. You have a lot of reasons to stay in Nikken. It could be the paycheck or whatever, but as far as you're being able to be excited and go out there and do this from a place of passion and purpose, you just need to know that it's in alignment with your highest self, your true self, and your true mission and purpose. And what happened there was, in a sense, a watershed. It was what William Todd referred to as the pink elephant in the living room. Finally, somebody pointed out, there's a pink elephant in this living room. And then you had to deal with it. And that's what happened. What happened was, it was dealt with, and it completely changed the vibration, the energy of the people in the room. And these are my colleagues, these are my friends, these are my brothers and sisters in Nikken. We can't possibly afford to be at odds with one another. We're so small in numbers relative to the task ahead of us in making Nikken a household name.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't afford to be at odds. We now, more than ever, need to be one and united and together and supportive of the initiatives that are coming from Nikken. And so it was the beginning of what I think is going to be in history. It'll show this. The most successful growth curve that Nikken has experienced worldwide. It was, I believe, the beginning of that. It was the point where even all the great ideas wasn't going to do it. It had to come to a heart level, had to be dealt with on that level, and now the great ideas matter.
Okay. And that's exactly what I experienced, but I couldn't put it in quite those words. I knew what I was feeling, and I knew that this was the beginning of something. And yet, it's hard to translate an experience. It's like, once you've gone through humans being more and had that day and a half experience that we have now, and there's no way you can can it into words. Mike, in your opinion, how imperative it is on that two-day event, and you've been a part of the new revised version with the half a day of literally business fundamentals that are being implemented. How imperative is that for someone who's even looking at Nikken as a part-time thing?
That's a great... I'm working right now with a group called... You would know Gen Y. I mean, they're young. They're my brother. It's my brother and his girlfriend, and they're in the Gen Y category. And they said the most remarkable thing. We've got an ongoing discussion now that we've since included Doug Braun and Bodak in to help really evolve the ideas from Gen Y. We're not going to assume, we're just going to ask. One of the things they said that makes this so incredible, what turns them on, is the fact that people spend thousands of dollars, days, hours, reading books, tons of money on the category of personal development. I mean, it is a huge industry, and for the young Gen X, Gen Y group, they are particularly enamored by what that whole personal development leads to, which is a sense of personal freedom, which is their highest value and priority.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at Nikken, and when they got so excited about Nikken, what they saw, and this is in their own words, they saw a personal development program with a compensation plan. In other words, rather than having to pay money to do this, they're actually going to get money, they're going to get paid to do this personal growth. And so if you look at it that way, you say, okay, what's the value of personal growth? Well, obviously, as an industry, it's valuable enough that from every top down, the biggest companies and so forth, they're top people. That's what they do. That's what they spend the majority of their time and money on because it affects the bottom line. So if you're looking to affect the bottom line in your life, and I would say that it's more than just money, it's your health physically, mentally, emotionally, your relationships, even your sense of purpose and role in society, and your money, then personal development is a mandatory thing. It's a must. You must enroll yourself in that agenda. And Nikken has such an agenda. If nothing else, one of the finest I've seen to get somebody started on that course. As a business, looking at the fact that this is part of our business, it's like those big rocks. It's like It's like, what are the must things in this business that make this business run? Well, you have to put gas in your car, it won't run. You might have a great car, but without gas, it's not going to run. You got to have oil and so on and so forth. Well, HBM and fundamentals is one of those must things. It's something that I call the big rocks. It's something that I say, how do I leverage this for my business, to grow my business? Well, I know the growth of my business. In fact, this is a business axiom. The growth of my company is in direct proportion to the growth of the people in my company. And that's exactly going to be the same case for you and your Nikan business.
Mm-hmm.
The growth of your business is going to be in direct proportion to your personal growth and the personal growth of the people in your organization.
Absolutely.
And HBM is there on a rhythm specifically for that purpose.
Okay, absolutely. And, and that's so imperative because we look back, and I was reading an article in a magazine yesterday, and it says what we all know to be true, and we learned from Dave Johnson early on that, you know, where we'll be 5 years from now depends on the things we read, the people we associate with, you know, blah, 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 you know, go on and on and on. And that does. It determines who we are. Those who we associate with and the thoughts we think determine who we are. And, I mean, garbage in, garbage out. Mike, one last question. Orlando, Florida, October. How imperative is that?
That's the big rock. That's the first one you start with. So going back to this plan, if I was making a plan for somebody who just started the business, which I did where my brothers are concerned, first rock that goes in, where are you going to be October? Here. Why do we have to know now? Because if we don't know now that you're going to be there, and if you're not committed now to being there, you're not going to do the things necessary to get there, even the little things. It's like planning a wedding. Until you set the date, all the little things don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But once you set the date, those little things do matter, and all of a sudden you have to start planning and organizing the little things, which is the quarterly, the monthly, the weekly, and the daily activities, so that when you're in Orlando, you're not there just yourself. You're there since you're going to be there, since it's already been determined. How many people you want there with you on your team? Now, in hindsight then, when we're building our calendar of events and we're taking our first 90-day steps in the business, we know that all of those steps are in direct relation to the outcome in Orlando. So there's a relationship to our actions with our results and what those results are going to be and how that, in fact, is going to impact our business. Why Orlando? Because that's the biggest rock. That's the one event of all events that will cause the most change within the consciousness of your consultants. It's the one event of all events this year that will make the most profound effect in terms of their commitment to long-term in building a career with Nikan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Well, and again, we go back to building a house. You start with the foundation, so we have to begin with the end in mind. It's not that we say, okay, let's go ahead and pick out the roofing tile colors and let's be really focused on that. No, absolutely not. There's a whole plan that has to be laid out. So, and I love the fact that you said decide on, number one, that you're going to be there, but number two, who are you going to take with you? Because I'll tell you, I've been to many, many events and things that we've either hosted, Stacy and I have hosted, or that we've been a part of, or conventions or whatnot. It's so much more fun when you've got people with you. It's the Ruth Williams mission statement or vision that she had years ago. You know, being on this hill and enjoying the view, but more importantly than that, having all my close friends there with me. And that's what it's all about. And, we simply build from there. So, Mike, I know there's so much more wealth of knowledge and information that I could bleed out of you, and hopefully it hasn't been too painful. But just out of curiosity, Mike, where are you at located right now?
I'm in the city of Toronto.
Okay, you're in Toronto. Okay, because I know you have a second home in somewhere in the Caribbean, Barbados, is it?
Yeah, I live in Barbados.
Okay, well, that's got to be rough. Got to be rough, but to get away from that hot tropical weather that I know that Toronto gets, like, especially in January and February, right? So you have to escape to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, well, Mike, again, thank you so very much for lending 45 minutes of your time on a Saturday morning, which you could be doing all kinds of other things. And look forward to seeing you in Orlando, if not sooner. Are you at a Humans Being More event this weekend or next?
This weekend I'm at the Advanced Leadership and Communication in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Okay, great. So for those people who want to, and that is the new and revised version of what we used to call, was it gold training or diamond training?
Yeah.
Gold training. Okay, one in Irvine, California next weekend and one in Washington, D.C. Greg, that is next weekend, right?
It's next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So just want to remind people of that. So again, Mike, thank you so much. Mike DiMuccio, Royal Diamond with Nikken. And as a gentle reminder, if you've got someone that you know would benefit from hearing what Mike shared with us, send them to growingandwellness.com. And they can pick up a CD there. And I want to remind everybody, same time, same number, same place next week. Look forward to chatting with you. And when you see Mike at the convention, you can say thank you for him sharing his time on Saturday AM Live. So everybody have a fantastic weekend, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.